Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for being here. I'm Wenjing Zhou, PhD student of Dr. Sword, Greg Sword from Texas A&M University and Pharmaceutical Entomology. So today I'm going to talk about the effects of two fungal endophytes, Porphyrioxylin lacnum and Ketomin globosum arutinal nematodes, and the greenhouse field in a few conditions. So these fungus are previously called Psittacomyces. So from now I'm going to call it Psittacomyces, so it's going to be easier for me. First of all, let's see what are endophytes. So by determinations, endophytes are microorganisms that live within the plant tissue without causing symptoms or diseases. So mostly you can find them colonizing within a plant, either locally or systemically from leaves and roots and stems. By previous studies, some cases we know they have impact on the whole plant, including increased plant growth and increase the disease resistance, and some anti-overwards, including fungal-induced some toxins against mammals, and also as some of the endophytes as animal pathogen, which is 101 Bovaria bassiana, and one endophyte being brought up pretty frequently as Psittacomyces lacnus. This one has a bunch of strains that work as endophyte, and this is one I'm talking about that we obtained from the lab. So in 2011, the lab conducted a common endophyte survey in Texas from 8 locations. The green marks are organic farms, and the black ones were from conventional farms. So leaves and the squares and the bowls that we collected, and we isolated them using two culture media, the SDA media and PDA media. We were able to acquire more than 3,000 isolates by morphotaps. And then we identify them using the genomic DNA, which is the mitochondrial DNA, to identify them into 69 fungal endophyte taxa. So here's the list. If you're interested in that, you can find it in the paper. So we selected two of the strain over here, which we recorded as the nematode parasites before. So now I'm going to show you some results from the greenhouse trial first. This is one for Psittacomyces lacnus. And we select the cotton seed from the conventional alley 122. And to use that, we did the pre-surface sterilization of the seeds. And then we coat the seeds with soaking them into suspension, either from control treatment, that's distilled water, and two concentration of the fungus spores, which is 10 to the 6 and 10 to the 7, to soak them overnight, and then plant the next day in pure sand. So at the first true leaf stage of the plant, we did inoculation efficiency check. So one of the set of results we got is from control, we got a 0% colonization, and low 20%, and a high 40%. That's based on the plating, the tissue culture, and the PCR. So for the nematode assay, we inoculated the plant at the plant first true leaf stage for 2,000 eggs per plant. And then with the sampling at 12 days later, we checked for the juvenile penetration efficiency. And 6 weeks after the egg inoculation, we checked the gall numbers and egg productions. Here's what we found. These are the Psittacomyces interact with the nematode egg in the petri dish. So the two graphs on the top are the day 12. So number of juveniles per gram of root, you can see remarkable reduction on endophyte treated plants with both low and high concentration compared with the control treatment. And I also count the gall numbers since I already formed some early galls, and still we have significant reduction on the gall formation on both endophyte treatments. 6 weeks later, we checked the egg production and the gall numbers, so we can see both significant reduction on the egg numbers and gall numbers, but here we can see there is a difference between the low concentration endophyte treatment and the high treatment, and the same over here. And then we're going to see what about the Ketomin. We did exactly the same with three concentrations, zero, which is distilled water, and 10 to the 6, 10 to the 7. We checked the colonization efficiency just by culturing the plant tissue, because this one's pretty easy that you can confirm them by plating. And this is one example. We got 60% colonization from the low treatment, and the high, we got 100% confirmed. So for the nematode assay, we did exactly the same, 2,000 eggs per plant. inoculate it, and we wait for 12 days to confirm the juvenile penetration, and then later, we wait for 6 weeks later to count the gall numbers and egg production. Here's the globosome. This is a paracesium, and this is spores. This is the one actually used for soaking the seeds. So again, the top two graphs, they're the data we collected day 12, which is number of juveniles per gram of root. We see a significant reduction on both endophytic plants. And for early gall formation, significant reduction on both endophytic colonized plants. And 6 weeks later, we're able to confirm a significant reduction on egg production on both endophytic treatment. And again, for gall numbers, significant reduction on these two treatments versus the control. And then we're happy with the results in the greenhouse, and then we ask ourselves, what about in the field? I'm going to show you one set of data from the field that we conducted this year. So here's the experimental design. And this time we include two endophytes with each one got one concentration and a control treatment. So we selected two varieties, which is phytogen 367 and 499, and we used two Z Coli treatments. So soaking exactly the same way we did for the greenhouse trials, and then I divided our own way to coat the seeds with the methicillin sticker, which is a dry coating, and then with six replicates per treatment. So it's a randomized plot design, which is a split plot design, and we have two rows per plot, in total of 72 plots. So here, this is the methicillin sticker coating, there's a dry coating seed, and this is the soaking seed. And here I'm going to present the data that we conducted in La Mesa, Texas this year, and they got planted in May 19th. And so by the time we sent over the nematode, I also did the colonization for the endophyte that we inoculated. And here's for C. globosum. And by soaking, we got 75%. And methicillin for about 17%. And psyllomyces, we got soaking almost like 30%. And methicillin is 41%. So this is all based on the tissue culture on the plate. Here is the nematodes quantification we did in July 22nd, and pretty much it's going to show you the population density over here. So this one is the egg population. You can see pretty much all patchy, and the blue ones are pretty much show you like nothing, while the hotspots are the red ones. And this is the number of juveniles in my field. And this is the gall race conducted by Dr. Wheeler. So you can see it's pretty much patchy. If you want to go over and analyze your data, you're going to get biased. So then we ask ourselves, what about we control for the spatial factor, and then which means we subtracted the corresponding control treatment from each measurement plot, and then generate a new adjustment data. So just give you an idea. I have my blocks from 100 blocks and 200, 300, until 600, which represent six replicates. Here are the egg numbers. On top, those are the original data, and this is the one that control on the spatial factor. So two colors representing methicillin coating or the soaking in the red color, and to your left is the phytogen 367 and 499 to your right. And then here is the endophyte treatment from control, and two endophytes are here. So you can pretty much see that the egg numbers got reduced. You got a trend over here for all the dry coatings. Well, for the soaking of the virus. So it depends on the variety and also for the endophyte itself. But still, we can see like most of all, they got a reduction on the egg numbers. And then about the gall rate. So that's the original data, and that's adjustment data. You can see for these varieties they do good on controlling the galls, especially for the dry coating. And this one, the red ones are soaking. So it really tells us the variety matters a lot. And then we measure the plant height in August. This is original data. And then we control on the spatial factor. And most of them got enhanced plant growth rate. We also conducted the plant density and a bunch of the NDVI, which in terms of the leaf grayness data and the leaf temperature. So this is one set of data. And here's the yield. If you see the original data, you won't tell pretty much nothing going on over here, but if you control on the spatial factor, you can pretty much see by soaking, it's not really good, but for the rest of them, you got like sort of increased yield overall. So I would say it's quite important to look at your rails distribution of your nematode in the field and then consider that to determine whether you have increased yield or not, just based on our results. So to summarize, the two fungal endophytes, the Sylvomyces lacnus and the C. globosum, in greenhouse trials were successful to determine significant reduction on the root knot penetration and the reproduction. And for the field trials, we were able to detect negative effects on the nematode reproduction and infection, so positive effects on the plant growth and yield, but we also learned that the varieties and the seed treatment effects are quite important to us as well. So with that, I want to thank everyone who contributed to our work or provided help, and my funding resources from Cotton Incorporated and Texas A&M University. Now I'd like to take questions. Thank you.
Plenty of time for questions. Plenty of time for questions, y'all.
No, that's a black seed, I think.
How often does that use black seed?
Well, so the reason we use black seed is we want to ignore all those. So that's going to be the noise. If you have anything tree on the seeds, we couldn't tell what the endophyte is exactly doing with the seeds. That's our first step. So if we can determine with the endophyte only they're doing something good to the plants, maybe we're not going to consider to do something else, but we're just at the first step.
What's this genus name?
Is it related to Bacillomyces? It's a Bacillomyces lacnus, and it changed the name for that.
So are you familiar with commercial products that were already available for that?
The no-fly?
Or the Bacillomyces?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't tried that on nematodes, but we have colleagues who conducted that against me in the lab.